Phony Bennett in the house, along with Dougie Fresh and T Dubs. Phony, how you feeling today?
I want sports back. I'm ready. All the leagues are talking about coming back. I guess NBA is definitely coming back. Baseball still on the table. I just want something. Man, this has been so hard. And obviously, it's, you know, this is a small complaint compared to what's going on. But I can't wait till we actually have sports to talk about, it, as opposed to just sports adjacent stuff.
Yeah, we might have at least the NBA soon.
Can I just mention one thing that's bothering me a little bit? It's not really bothering me. I think it's kind of funny. Last week you talked about you don't have exactly 20,000 followers.
I don't.
So I said you had 20,000 followers in the intro, but you've lost maybe in the last couple of weeks more Twitters than I actually have.
that's the badge of honor these days is losing followers because you had the nerve to express an opinion. So, yeah, it's been slowly creeping down, or not so slowly. I mean, but whatever. You know, part of me is like, you know, there's that urge. Like, I don't want to say something that causes people to unfollow me. But then I'm like, well, screw those guys. Like, you know, these aren't people I probably want to talk to in the first place. So I don't like myself for caring about the count and for losing them. And so I'm freewheeling now, man. You got no idea what I might tweet next because I just don't care. So. You know, I might have as many as you by next week, man. We'll
see. How about you? Juneteenth is tomorrow.
See what happens.
Juneteenth.
Yeah. All right. Just tweet that tomorrow's Juneteenth.
Well, yeah. All right. Back to baseball. I just had to just talk about how proud I am of my 500 followers.
But they're all baseball. Important and special.
Yeah. Yeah,
like there was a time, like, you know, when, you know, I only had like a few, like I knew who all of them were. I mean, I recognized their names and stuff, and yeah, that was cool. It's like, oh, okay, that guy, I remember when he followed me, but you know, then it kind of gets lost. You lose touch with the people, is what I'm saying. So, you know,
thank you for making me feel better. Humble, Mark. I appreciate that. I feel so much better now.
Bring you back down to earth.
Right.
Now I'm feeling better. I'll share my screen. I figured we'd start with. The UVA changing its logo design after being linked with slavery.
Yeah, a bunch of my people hit me today at work about that. They had no idea. A, they had no idea there was a new logo. B, they had no idea. Nobody had. We were talking about it too because it's the walls at Virginia that go the serpentine walls or whatever you call it.
Right.
And I had no clue in Virginia what that was. I probably saw it twice.
I'm just trying to figure out why your peoples aren't watching the Jay Willie show. They would get all their good information from there.
That's right.
This is just like Wall Street nerds that went to Virginia. Good people. Yeah, they just didn't know about all the that whole thing.
Yeah, so, Tommy Smith hit me up this morning. He's like, we need to talk about this new lacrosse. Tommy Smith.
Right. I didn't realize those walls are 8 feet high. I thought they were shorter. I didn't realize they were that tall.
Yeah, they always seemed shorter to me.
They were originally, and I think over the years they've gotten lower and lower. That's how I read it. So they were originally higher, and then as you know, as they're refurbishing or whatever, they lowered it so you could see the campus a little more.
Right.
I don't know. What did you hear about this, Chris, on your account? Did you see a bunch of people tweeting at you?
I mean, no, I've more seen it from message boards and whatnot. And really, I mean, I think the controversy over the logo change is bigger than the logo change itself. I mean, I really think people getting mad about it is about them changing the logo. It's just you're caring about something you probably didn't care about before. right. Like, exactly, so the right. Serpentine walls, you know, when I was there, yeah, we learned they use fewer bricks than double stacked walls and all that. And I guess I'm sorry, my cat's chewing on a container of Oreos. You know, when I was there, it was, you know, it was just part of the grounds design. And then, you know, people have been researching slavery at UVA, and obviously a lot of UVA was built by slave labor, or, you know, basically equivalent labor, indentured servants and whatnot. And that, you know, they've determined that one of the purposes of the walls, you know, was to hide them from view or hide their living spaces. So when Nike did the redesign, they said that they put the ridges on the handle to mimic the serpentine walls. Now, personally, I'm not even, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if someone said, you know, after they did it, said, hey, we can say it's to mirror the serpentine walls. I mean, it was not something that was all, I thought, evocative of those walls. And I thought it was kind of an unnecessary thing for them to add or try to make a big deal about. But if those walls were used for that, I can understand not wanting the logo to represent that or right. to be a reminder of that. So you pull it off. Nobody cared about the shape of the handle is the thing. So they took a very minor step that most people wouldn't have noticed. And now people are losing their minds because what you'd fallen in love with this logo for the 2 weeks that it looked like this. And you, right. you can't believe they're changing it. I think, right. people just want to be angry, and really that anger is directed at their perception of political correctness or social justice that they don't like or anything like that. The logo change itself, I think it's probably good that they did it. I didn't feel strongly one way or the other. I haven't read the research on it, but you know what? There's no reason not to do it. It's simple enough. I've got a shirt now that apparently has the wrong logo on it because I ordered shirts on day one. I'm that kind of fan. But I think people just want to be mad about things. And certainly where we are right now with people, you know, wanting to be mad at Black Lives Matter, wanting to be mad that the Confederate monuments are coming down. This is just something else for them to be mad about, and it's such a minor change. I don't think it's worth that, even if you feel strongly about the serpentine walls. So I'm fine with them changing it. I've got no problem with it, and I think the whole reaction is just a little bit overboard. You got people saying they're not going to give to the, you know, VAF because of this. It's like, come on, man.
Wow. It's funny because when they changed it in the beginning, people were mad as well. Right. So that, like, I think to your point, people are just looking to be mad about shit and they're bored at home and they're noticing things. I don't even know what the logo was when I played basketball at University of Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, I think the split V was probably the most popular one then. I don't know if that was the main logo back then or not, but yeah, I mean, people didn't like the logo changes in the first place. And so now they're mad that they're changing the logo that they probably, if you go back, they probably complained yes. about already.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the bevels. I think something needed to be done to make it a little more bolder and whether, because a lot of times when you'd see it on TV, they're just using the outline, that orange outline of the Sabres, and it would get kind of washed out on things. So that's something they probably could have fixed with just new guidelines for how it's used and whatnot. Every company has that for their logo. But, you know, the bevels make it look like an XFL logo, kind of, and I'm not a big fan of all that, but whatever. The V Sabres is an awesome logo. I mean, the split V is classic, and I definitely have kind of that nostalgia for that, but I think the V Sabres are great, and they're still great, however the handles are shaped or whether or not they're beveled.
Right. I have a 20-second timeout. You used two words I don't know the meaning to, bevel and evocative. The fuck is a bevel?
The bevel is how they've tried to give the illusion of depth with slightly different shades. So it's they've got some extra lines in it so that it looks like it's
Yeah, they did. I can flip back and forth.
Evocative means it evokes you know, it evokes thoughts of something else, which
got it. Yeah. The cousin of provocative,
right?
Wasn't the Sabre logo?
Wait a second. That was for Dougie. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I'll say, wasn't the Sabre logo originally designed by George Welch's son? Isn't that
it was? Yeah, he was an art major of some kind, like an advertising major, and it's.
That's Maddie Welsh, right? Matt Welsh?
Yeah, I don't know if it was Matt or if he had multiple sons, but he...
I know he does have multiple
sons. His son did it. Matt did it. He did it, and there, I guess it was, I don't remember which year, 92 or 93, I want to say. I think it was while you're in school. It was only football for the first 2 years, and then they eventually carried over. Yeah, which I thought was cool. It was like, it was a while before basketball adopted the Sabre. And now it's like, people think that's the classic. It's so weird. Okay. All right, next one. We tweeted this today. Biggest play in UVA basketball history. Comment for Kyle Guy's free throws. Retweet for Mamadi's, Kihei and Mamadi, and then like for DeAndre Hunter's corner three. What are you guys' thoughts? Biggest play, which one?
Okay, so the second and third, Kyle's free throws and DeAndre's shot don't happen if Kihei doesn't make the pass and Mamadi doesn't make the shot.
Right.
Right, but let's just say all things being equal.
Separately, yeah.
Separately? Man. Wow. Dougie?
Oh, man. Well, can I tell you my favorite play? Am I allowed, or I have to choose between these three?
No, go ahead.
How about both?
When Tyrone Jerome fake passed to nobody in Cameron, and the entire defense shifted.
Yeah, that was great.
And he just drilled a three from 20, whatever feet it was, 25, 28. That might be the one that sits with me.
Your favorite. Favorite play.
And again, I got shit on the forum today for talking about 1990 to 1994. All the time, because it's, you know, whatever. So I'm probably wrong, but that's my insight. But that play to me, man, sitting here while I was like that. And the best part is he faked it to nobody and just moved the entire thing. And
the cameraman even, like, shifted.
Yep. That's my favorite. But of those three plays, I'm going to throw one at you. I've said it before. It's Braxton Key's block shot in the corner. I mean, it's not the most spectacular play, but how important was that? Who knows what that ball was going to do?
I'm going to tell you why I didn't think that was as big.
Okay.
The guy was fading out of bounds. Right. It would have been like the most improbable – not the most improbable shot, but like it was a second – it was like half a second left. If, of course, it goes in, my heart just sinks, and I'm not sure where I would have done.
Right.
So I just don't know, like, when I think about it that
way. But you weren't worried about the ball going in the way the play developed. I get that. I wasn't.
I mean, I was a little bit upset that the referee didn't give us a timeout, but I could see why he didn't.
Yeah.
I think the recency bias thing, each one felt bigger than the next just because the moment seemed bigger.
Right.
But I would say, looking back on it, I mean, that Kihei to Mamadi one.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think that's, for me, that's probably the winner. It's just like.
What about Dre's shot was so clutch? I mean, it was just so clutch. Like, Kyle's thing was so big. For me, Kyle's thing was so big because two reasons. One, because the year before, he suffered from anxiety. And now he's in front of 20,000 people. He's a great player. Right. And he didn't, I mean, he has to deal with stress and he had to deal with anxiety and he had to deal with like the nerves going to make those shots in front of 75,000 people in the stadium and millions of people watching on TV. There wasn't anybody blocking his shot, trying to block his shot.
Right.
Right. And he had a little bit more time. Right. So he had, but the it's like what everybody lives for, right? All those plays are what everybody lives for when you look at it and you're counting down 3, 2, 1, he shoots it. Right, Kyle's was like real because if he missed, oh, he got fouled. Right, but there's still when he's taking those free throws, there's nobody like there's no time running down. Right. And he's at the free throw line, versus Mamadi, Kihei, like it's like you're down to the point.
Yeah, second. That's more instinct than anything. That's not even
right. And then Dre's shot. Oh my gosh.
And the pass too from Ty.
All right, but the shot, like we're talking, shot, I mean,
just a shot, incredible.
No, but I think about it as the whole play, and it's like ties that just lets that little bit, not little, but that genius on the court. Like he knew the dude. It's almost like he knew the guy was going to help off the Dre, and Dre's going to be open. Goodbye.
Right. How like much do you guys think?
Running like he was going to float it. He's like, all right, I got it. Boom, goodbye.
Do you think there's anything to make of that from their friendship and spending so much time together? Like, I think it's so fitting that they make that play because of how close they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. He knows. He knows, and he has all the confidence and Dre to hit that.
Just, those two clowns spend so much time together. Right?
That's the thing. And they're separable. We all take it for granted. You got to make the shot, right? It's got to go in. It's not like it's not a 90% shot.
He shot it with such confidence.
What was your take, Chris? We didn't hear your opinion, Chris. Which of these three do you lean towards for base play?
I mean, I got to go with the one that everyone calls the play, the Kihei to Momodi. And really, it's because of the pass. Now, I know Momodi's shot was more difficult than I think a lot of people assume it was, but Kihei's pass, I swear, is the best pass you'll ever see in college basketball. And the one everyone wants to go back to is Grant Hill to Leitner. You know, Hill wasn't guarded. And he had a set play. Kay had drawn up a play. This wasn't some playground stuff. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he executed. Kihei had to figure that out. I mean, and he was a quarterback then, right? Because, I mean, he goes back. And,
all right.
I think I got to agree with that.
Does his check downs, looks like, at his receivers, finds Momodi.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. The pass was just so good. It wasn't only finding Momodi, it was getting Momodi right in the shooting pocket. Because, look, if Momodi catches that at his waist and he's got to go into a shooting motion, he might not get it off in time. Yeah. Or he might have to rush it and miss the shot.
That's something I've talked about, and it's the sneaky over and over fundamentals, Coach Jerome. Big men, keep the ball high. Don't bring it down. And Momodi, if he brought it down, Harms is, 7'25" or whatever he is, right. He's going to come and get it.
And his time runs out.
Yeah. I mean, he's got no time to pump fake. He's got no time to think. And so, I mean, that's a shot that a lot of guys miss. You know, you saw in the tournament that same year, Duke, Virginia Tech had an inbound, Buzz drew up a great play, get it to the guy, and the guy rushes to get it off. And it was a shame that Duke ended up winning that because, I mean, Buzz drew up a beautiful play to get a guy open like 3 feet from the basket, and he hurried it and he missed. And that, I mean, that could have easily been the story there. So, I mean, that the execution, I mean, that's so much coaching and teamwork and everything. I mean, I just don't see how you can get something better than that. Now, you can argue other plays were bigger in the moment, but – right. As far as just a single amazing play, that'll forever be it for me.
And when you break that play down second by second by second, I'm not sure you can compete with that play.
Yeah, that's
it. There's like five unbelievable plays. The tip back, the sprint by Kihei.
Yeah.
Like, the sprint was real. How many dribbles? Two? Incredible. He turned around.
No one else on the team could do that. He's the only one that could have done that.
And then who's gonna try to beat him up first if he fucks it up, Ty or Kyle?
that was like, my favorite part of Unbelievable when they break it down and Kyle's like, and he looks me off. I mean, that it's just so amazing. And then you compare that to what people talk about as a great pass, that Hill to Leitner pass. I mean, Grant Hill knew where he was going, and he had 5 seconds to do it from the time he got the ball. I mean, Kihei, I don't know if Kihei even had a chance to look at the clock when he was going through his checkdowns. Like, I mean, it still gives me goosebumps.
And the other thing that I think you mentioned, Mark, is like, okay, you don't, Kyle doesn't make the free throws, lose our overtime. You still find a four, one of the greatest seasons in Virginia history, at least tied, right? Dre misses that one. We lose. Let's say we lose the Texas Tech. First time ever at NCAA finals. That play doesn't happen to Momodi Kihei, and it's, Tony Bennett can't get it done at Marsh again.
Right.
That's a huge piece.
Right. Making the Final Four was, in my mind, and I think a lot of other
the
fans,
goal,
that was the line for redemption from UNC.
Yeah.
It wasn't winning the championship. It was can they make the Final Four because they're good enough and obviously that play was the difference, or, is the kind of play you can highlight.
All right. So T-Dubs, did you give a concrete answer? And Dougie, did you give a concrete answer on this?
The middle. I'm retweeting this one.
I'm retweeting.
Does Doug know what a retweet is?
That's not a recycle. Retweet. It's not a recycle symbol.
Tweet and retweet.
All right. So here.
Yeah. So we decide for the Purdue game, right? The Kia Momedy.
All right. So here's DeAndre Hunter's answer. Ty Jerome double dribble.
Well, Ty violated.
Hold on.
Let me explain that.
And then here's Ty's response. If you didn't choose to take the day off versus Purdue, Kihei Mamadi wouldn't even need to be.
Wow.
And then the last of this series. Well, I wonder what would have happened if I didn't play against Gardner. So good.
It's so savage. And I
so good.
Yeah, I love it. Hilarious. Interactions.
So good. Yeah.
That's funny.
I think Ty just retweeted, just responded again with, you want to congrats for doing what you're supposed to do on the court. I see what the old dudes mean about this younger generation.
Well, if he's anything like his old man, well, he is like his old man. We have to get the last word. So yes. He won't stop.
Yeah, no.
This won't stop unless Dre decides to stop. So we might see if Dre continues.
I'm incredibly happy about that because it's more entertainment for us.
And then, if Dre continues this, this will go on and on and on and on.
And then this next one. This one did well in our forum. The best 3-point shooter UVA basketball history. I'm gonna meet Doug. We got Malcolm Brogdon, Curtis Staples, Dre, Mike Scott, Sean Singletary, Todd Billett, Kyle Guy, Keith Friel, Justin Anderson, Joe Harris. An absent Dougie Fresh Smith, but you know, someone nominated
him. So maybe this is second?
Yeah. Second.
Second, yeah, we just assumed
second best Doug, after Fresh. What are your thoughts on this, seeing this?
I mean, I gotta go with Curtis Staples. I loved watching that guy shoot and his release. Like, I still have never seen a guy with a release that's so speedy. I mean, the guy was just a machine. I mean, obviously some of these other guys have hit bigger shots and you know, did more to advance the program or whatever. But man, I loved watching Curtis Staples because there was no time from him receiving the ball to that ball, you know, arcing through the hoop.
It's also Richard Morgan. We left off of this one. Fresh, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I said Kurt. I'm looking, hold on.
Yeah, Kurt.
I said Kurt, and I gave a sneaky shout out to Todd Billett because I remember that dude just getting.
Yeah.
I felt like he was just shooting from all over the court if I was watching him.
Yeah. His percentage wasn't great, but he about his last year. I mean, that's all he was, and he still got it in. Like, you know, he's still.
I mean, Kurt set the NCAA record for most threes made when he was done. I don't. You can't say it's not him. So
is he still in second place behind Redick?
No, there's some other kid.
No, somebody else. Right?
Oh, wow.
What's his name? McGee?
Yeah, somebody.
I forgot.
A smaller school did a bunch of – what team with, like, high-volume shooters.
Was Sean a big three-point shooter?
Not a huge three. He was his last year, a little bit better, but he is mostly a scorer, I would say.
Well, my last year, we had a team rule. I was not allowed to roam inside the three-point line. Like, even makes on sense. Fast breaks, I had to stay in the three. So I could shoot the three as good as anybody. But
we left you. You were off of this. Ty, Richard Morgan. Those are some big names that we left off of there. But
I think this is like a hands down Kurt.
It's hard to argue with Kurt Staples.
Absolute machine.
I don't think I'm qualified to enter unless we're evaluating by percentage points. I'm be honest. I'm not sure.
You didn't see all these.
No, right. I didn't see everybody, and no disrespect to Keith Friel. I'm not sure who that is and when he played.
I'll tell you what, Keith Friel, I think he's from New Hampshire maybe. He has an insane amount of threes made in high school. It's like an insane amount. I'll find the article. I think New Hampshire.
He could shoot it.
He's really a specialist, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like Curtis Staples is – like, then UVA realized we really need a weapon like that is why we got the Todd Billett and the Keith Friels, right? Because it was like, once Curtis left, people were like, what happened? Why don't we have three-point shooter like Curtis? And then we've kind of had one always.
And me and my friends, we called him the staple gun, and it never caught on. I think if we had Twitter back in the day.
Like, yeah. Oh, it's such a staple gun, though. It's like, because he's got that
quick release.
The distinctive quick release. And he didn't arc it as much as he just fired it. Like,
yeah.
And I told you guys, he told me he shot 1,000 shots a day, every day through high school.
Wow.
There's no secret there. Good. I mean, Kyle, I'll tell you though, Kyle Guy's shot is pretty.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He jumps so good. You know, looking one way, and he jumps up and turns his body in the air, the whole thing, he's got a pretty
shot. That's what always stood out to me about Kyle, is his ability to take off goofy-footed or whatever and just square up in the air. I mean, there's not a lot of guys that could do that, and it's one good thing you'll ever hear me say about Grayson Allen is he was really good at that too, is receiving and getting that shot off. And you're like, why are you shooting like that? But then by the time that ball's leaving his hand, I mean, he's in perfect form.
What about Malcolm's shot? What did you guys think of that?
When I watched Virginia play, I saw most of his shots come around the elbows and come off the screen, like inside the 3-point line. I don't remember, but I didn't follow Virginia at that time like you guys did. But I'd have to agree about Kyle. Like, his shot is so beautiful to watch, and how he squares up so quickly, how he can stop and turn and square up is unreal.
Yeah, I think Malcolm. For me, gets lost in the shuffle, but he was just so efficient and so matter of fact about the way he handled his business. It wasn't like a Kyle Guy shot over three people spinning and twisting, you know what I mean? But he just got to his spots, man, and he was just so efficient, like, you know, so professional about it.
I remember complaints of how flat his shot was when he was at UVA. People were like, where's
Malcolm?
Where's the lift on Malcolm's shot? And I don't know. That all went away when he went to the league and showed he is a real threat.
Or was it that Pitt game? Was that Super Bowl Sunday game?
Yep, that's right.
Where the Malcolm hit that shot, and it was like a triple stacked screen or something that
he ends up
coming around.
Awesome.
Out. Yeah,
I love those. I love Virginia's last second plays out of bounds for win. It's amazing.
And Mike Scott wasn't a 3-point shooter at UVA, but his like jumper was so nice. That little like.
Who picked these?
Jab, step.
I don't really think of Mike as a 3-point shooter. I think of him as a mid-range guy, and I mean, he brought the mid-range game back. And I mean, he was one of those guys, and it reminded me, and it's something that I don't think people talk about too much with Jordan. I didn't watch the documentary, but Jordan was so good at that mid-range game, at just finding those holes in the defense and just being consistent
with
that
jabbing. Yeah.
And that's what I mean, Mike Scott. I mean, you know, everything he shot was like, you know, 12, 15 feet, and it was just money.
And here's the last one.
Oh.
So we're talking about Fresh. This is.
Oh, man.
This is. This came originally. Somebody was doing this face app thing and turning NFL coaches into women. And then this guy, Matthew Travis. It said ACC basketball coaches as women. There's Coach K. There's Roy Williams. There's
Coach Bennett. My God.
I don't like this part at all.
That's the old Southern in you, Dougie.
I mean, Tony can't be hot as a man and as a woman, can he?
Wait, look at Mike Bray. Oh my God.
Where's Bray?
That's Bray.
Oh, like that's Ray. That's Pastner.
That's the Georgia Tech Passel who's out, right?
Pastner. Yeah.
Whatever his name.
Is that NC State?
Yeah.
She's cute.
That's.
I don't like this part at all.
Yeah, see, I'm not familiar with.
Who's that?
Yeah, who's that? Go back up.
This one?
Yeah.
Boston College, right?
Oh, okay. Who's that?
I think I know her.
A couple extra. Oh, this is Coach Cal.
Oh my God! Right? Yeah, Cal, absolutely.
This is Izzo.
Izzo, yep.
I don't know who this one is.
Where was Boeheim? Did we do that enough?
There's Mark Few.
Uh huh.
Those are.
Oh jeez, this is crazy.
Who's that one? That
was Jay Wright.
Blonde.
Oh, the blonde is.
I don't know who that is.
I mean, I think it's an actual woman. I don't think
right.
It's a
that's Jay Wright.
That's Jay Wright, yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious. Huggy Bear.
Well, who's that? Hello, for sure.
Who's Wait, that? Go back up to Bob Huggins.
This is Bruce Pearl.
Bruce Pearl. Oh my gosh.
Bob Huggins looks like the gym teacher from Porky's.
Was that a woman or a man on Porky's?
It was a woman.
Oh, good. They didn't do Boeheim though, did they?
I think they did do Boeheim though. Maybe they didn't. I don't know.
This looks crazy.
Oh, right here, right? No, that's Larinaga. No.
That is Larinaga. This is so wrong.
Mac. Oh, it's supposed to be this one.
Yeah, that's Boeheim.
Yeah, that just looks like Boeheim.
Yeah, that's hilarious. How many looks at that kid? How many?
It gotta be. I don't know. You can't tell that. You just keep
how many likes? Tony got 50 likes. That's
50
it.
Likes.
I didn't like it. I was too disturbed.
I am. You know what? Tony kind of looks like my college girlfriend. Who was fire, by the way.
That's too funny.
I want to see who got the most likes. Is there any way of seeing?
Coach K, 100. 116.
Well, Coach K was the first one in the thread, so it's tough to judge by that of how people do
it. It's a little unfair.
Yeah, this is very weird, and I'm getting used to it, which is even weirder. like Chris said, like Phony said, I feel like I know her.
What were people calling her? Tanya Ben?
I think I find him more attractive as a man than a woman. I'm just going to
just throw that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got today. Any other updates we have this week?
That was funny, TW.
A lot going on.
Any DMs this week that were interesting for you, Phony?
No.
No mixtapes?
No, it was...
any recruits you lost for us again?
Yeah.
June 15th is a busy day for you, I imagine.
Right. It's a dead period right now.
Oh, we're live. Can somebody find my Twitter account? It's probably got something to do with number 11, probably fresh, probably D. I got to follow Phony. I'm gonna follow Mark Jerome and not Phony just to try to get Mark to catch up.
Now I'm only 19,000.
Right. 712. Yeah.
No, I'm racing to catch up with you, Mark. So
it's a race to zero at this point.
Like I have had discussions with friends like what would I have to tweet to get back down to like 100 followers? Like what tweet would end up losing?
I know it's impossible because so many people don't ever check Twitter that follow.
Right, and well, yeah. There's, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of followers that are just they're like Doug. They had a Twitter account 5 years ago and they haven't checked it since. And so,
Twitter is a weird place. I like it. I like Twitter more than Instagram personally, but it's so.
I can probably find mine on Alan Boston's Twitter thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's got his followers.
Brandon Lloyd has a pretty good tweet. Who's UVA's rival in football and who's UVA's rival in basketball?
That's a great question. Seriously.
So football, the three options he gave two options in football, Virginia Tech or UNC, and then other. Who would it be in football?
I think
it's got to be Virginia Tech, right?
Still got to be Tech, even though it's been not lopsided.
Yeah, I mean,
basketball?
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, in football, it's got to be Virginia Tech. But at basketball, that's crazy because all the teams that I think Virginia fans would want to name as our rival, if you ask them, they've got other rivals. I mean, you know, Duke doesn't see us as a rival. UNC doesn't see us as a rival. No, Louisville, I mean, I don't know that I'd count them as a rival. That's been too lopsided to actually get any bad blood going. Virginia Tech is a game. I mean, even I don't know how you guys viewed it. I mean, when I was a student, nobody cared about the Virginia Tech game. We played them once a year at a neutral site. Nobody. Nobody cared.
I think Virginia Tech fans care about it a lot. I don't think UVA. It's Ty one time told me that we like the guys at Virginia Tech. We don't dislike them at all.
Yeah.
Those aren't our rivals. Yeah.
Right.
Like, the game is big because of the intensity in the crowd.
Right. It matters. But yeah, I mean, no one's getting hyped for the big Virginia Tech game. I mean, football, clearly Virginia Tech. I mean, for me, the games, I would say the game that I look forward to / dread the most is Duke, because I mean, still, despite all of Tony's success, for the most part, they've had UVA's number. Yeah. Now, in the most recent sample, maybe that's shifted a little bit, but still, I think in any, you know, given day, you'd give the edge to Duke. You know, we've kind of owned UNC over the last several games, you know, that's a good natural rival. You know, I've got friends that still see UNC as, you know, as a much bigger rival than Duke or anybody else. You know, like some of the old school friends, like back in the day, you know, when K was getting started and Duke was really nothing, but the Virginia UNC rivalry, that's where it was at for them.
Yeah, when we had Tate Frazier on and talked about that, this is the oldest rivalry in the South, right?
Like so.
Oh, in football, you mean?
Yeah, football.
Right.
Football. And then it carried over to basketball. Like as a kid, it was always Four Corners versus Ralph Sampson, and then it was Dean Smith turning out the lights, and who knows?
Well, I have a 2-game winning streak against Duke going out, so I'm good with that. I think I'll bet my 4 years we were 500. We'd usually beat them at home and get beat on the road.
Right.
And then my last year we got them twice. So.
I miss those round robin ACC schedule days.
Oh man,
like I mean, even now I'd be perfectly happy if they went to a 28 game conference schedule. You get two out of conference games, make one of them a challenge, and then you can schedule a cupcake or I don't care. But I mean, because the regular season, even though they talk about the mythical regular season championship, I mean, the regular season was just – it was so defining to me back then.
Right.
You know, you get a home and away. There's no argument about unbalanced schedules or whatever. Everyone's playing everyone the same amount.
And it was fun. It was fun for us because, like, 4 years you go to NC State, let's say. You get to know their fans, right. You know, and you get to know the locker room, whatever, the whole thing, the hotel you stayed at.
Yeah, the rivalry, the quote-unquote rivalry thing that they labeled didn't work, right? Louisville was not our rival anymore, so than they would have been otherwise.
Yeah, well, how many – T-Dubs and Phony, how many away games have you been to recently and where you think the fans are the worst or the most hostile?
Recent, I haven't been to any away games recently. I mean, when I was there, I shot pictures for the Cab Daily, so I mean I got to go to most of the places, and I would say Maryland back then was the I mean their arena was dingy and crappy, and their fans mirrored it. I mean so that was a good rivalry, and I would, you know, if Maryland were in the ACC, I'd probably still consider them our rival. I think that is a great rivalry game because there's so much hostility and just bad will between our two teams. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great sports
styles program. And school styles and everything about it.
I might be making this up, but didn't our women's team back in the day go in there and something happened? Like it was way beyond sold out, incredibly hostile, like to a fault. Like
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that our Cavalier broke the Terrapin's leg at one point back in the day.
Oh, geez.
They were like play fighting and it got a little out of hand and the Terrapin got a broken leg. I'm 85% sure that's true, but
oh, we gotta find that out.
I still
need
can
to
you get your research work. Department on top of that, TW?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, let's find out who the Cavalier was
right
next week.
Let's get him on.
I think I've my brother and I have tried to make it a mission to go to one new away game every year, so we kind of made our way through a lot of them.
I haven't been in forever to an away game.
Yeah. I think I know that's why I didn't ask you, Dougie, because I thought I was pretty sure that was the case.
I don't think
nothing's like Duke.
To tell you the truth.
Nothing's like Duke.
Yeah, I will say nothing's been like Duke for, you know, the first time I went to Duke, we weren't that good. We weren't ranked. We were going in there, and it wasn't crazy. If I'm just being honest, like it just was. A lot of fair weather fans sitting on their hands. Towards the end, they got a little loud, but for the most part, it was pretty quiet in there. Same with UNC too, right? It was like quiet. Yeah. It's quiet in there until it gets close and it gets rowdy. Then it's like really loud. But I'm guessing when they're playing a cupcake team, it's not that intimidating. It's just like any other game. That's my.
I'm going to give you my opinion why that is. All the and you talked about earlier, Tony, about the seats, the stadiums are so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Now these big, beautiful stadiums and the fan base, the student body is further away in the most part, for the most part, from the stadium versus in the old days. And Duke, I think that's why Duke is still so intense and so hostile, because the fans are right there. Right? Oh, yeah. And their arms are reaching over the line, on the boundary, on the court. And it gets so loud in there. It's crazy. NC State Stadium is – no, Louisville Stadium is gorgeous.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
Right? It's Louisville Stadium is absolutely gorgeous. They have, like – they have the bars, right? The whiskey bars.
Right. Right.
And they have the bourbon bars. And the fans are nice, are fairly nice, right? Respectful. NC State, same thing, fairly respectful fans. Syracuse fans were a little bit rough around the edges.
Rowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
NC State in my day, they were not nice at all. No.
But again, I think it's changed. NC State, the boosters and the people sitting on the court, at least next to the Virginia side,
right?
They're a little bit older. Like, I'm talking about like 60s, 70s, the ones that were sitting right there on the court.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. You're not going to get the same intent. Yeah. You're not going to get the same level of hostility and intensity that you're going to get, but you're also going to raise a lot more money.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned Clemson's Little John Stadium. That place was.
Yeah, that place I've heard. I haven't been there. I haven't been to Wake Forest. And I haven't been to Tallahassee. Clemson.
Yeah, Tallahassee is cool. It's like a pro arena when I played. I don't know about now.
Yeah.
I just – this is where I get old man, but I think Cameron Crazies were better back in the day.
Wow.
You know, they were more creative. They were
–
you know, and I think, you know, because of how long they've been doing that and their reputation.
Playing a part. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're playing a part. They're caricatures of themselves. And I mean, you look at their cheer sheets and stuff, and it's like, really? That's the best you can do. I mean, what they used to do back in the day with throwing papers on the floor because an athlete had cheated, you know, and all, I mean, I love that stuff. It was clever, and, you know, they were really hardcore fans, and now this is what we do. And it's not the same, but
who did the newspapers? Who did the newspapers during the starting lineup? Was that
UNC? I mean, I feel like Duke had done Maryland. That. Some, was it?
I think Maryland did. Dude, I heard Maryland fans calling us things that I don't even say.
Yeah.
And Mark saying it in my mouth.
Well, and there's – I mean, I've heard some stories about that rivalry, about, you know, UVA fans calling, you know, because someone – one of the Maryland players' parents was a crackhead, and they were, like
– Oh, really?
Calling them out for that. Like, there's been some real bad blood over the years, and certainly, like, when Justin got hurt at Maryland, he rolled his ankle or something. I mean, the fans were, like, booing him and stuff. But there's so much bad blood in that rivalry, and it's tough to say where it started, but I'm here for it. Like, I wish we were playing them, because I don't like them, and that's the kind of game I want to watch is a team that I can just cheer against 100%.
There was a story of, like, I think it was Shane Battier's mom went to Maryland, and she was in the crowd in her Maryland section with her Battier jersey, and somebody threw a bottle or a battery or hit her in the back of the head, and she had to go to the emergency room.
Oh, something like that.
And that's their own kind. That's like an alumni. That's just crazy. It's just, anyway, no idea.
I never remember in a game at Virginia, like, one of our student fans or whatever saying anything crazy. I'm sure they did, right? I guess I would not notice.
Yeah, I've seen that thing. I'm obviously not familiar with it firsthand, but I've seen that Maryland story every time, because somebody reminds me of it every time I complain about how shitty Maryland fans are. They're like, yeah, but one time Virginia fans were making fun of it. And I don't remember who the player was, but people are able to say it was this player, and because there'd been a story, and I mean, obviously, there's stuff that crosses the line, and if that's true, that crosses the line, and, you know, it shouldn't be there. But, I couldn't stand Maryland's program. ACC tournament, 1994, so I went there. Virginia, I don't remember if we'd played Maryland, because that's 26 years ago at this point, but Maryland had lost, like, it may have been on Friday. And so we're leaving because this was in the afternoon session. And so everyone has to leave for a few hours before the evening session. So
Right. We're
leaving, and the way they direct the traffic around this arena, instead of two-way lanes, every lane right after a game, every lane goes one direction. And so you got these four lanes going, and they're splitting the lanes is Gary Williams coming the other way in a rental car looking – you know, we all were laughing that he looks hammered, but he was pissed off his team had just lost, and he's driving the wrong direction against traffic, and everyone's pulling out of the way. But that's my Gary Williams story.
No, I think so. You're right. I think he was hammered, right?
Maybe. I mean, I would be. Why not? Your season's over.
I think he was both, yeah.
Turn up, Gary.
Oh, Gary's great. I'll never forget my last game at Maryland. I go in, and he tells Johnny Rhodes – he's like, just don't let Smith catch the ball in the three-point. Don't let him. I'm like, Coach Williams, man, he's 6'6". I'm 6 whatever. Like, leave me alone, dude. And he just denied me the ball. And TW like this. So at the end, I was frustrated the whole game, pissed off. Corey's going off. Long story. I'm not sure why I'm telling the story right now, by the way. Long story short, end of the game, we're down by 2 or whatever, and Corey's dribbling. And Corey's dribbling, and Corey's dribbling, and Corey's dribbling. Finally, the other team realized it, and three dudes basically tackled Corey. And I'm, like, standing on the side like, yo, I'm open the first time tonight. And the ball falls out of Corey's hands and goes in my direction. He passed it to me. He made a perfect pass, obviously. And I drilled a three. And it was, like, the game-changing shot, so we won the game. This might be the best shot in the history of Virginia basketball. I'm like surly because I was mad about the game. I don't know why we won, which is great.
And you hit a big three.
I drilled it, Mark. That's a given. That was easy.
All right.
And I go back in the locker room, and you know, whatever, I'm doing my thing. I come out, and all the reporters they're like, you know, Doug, where you been? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm pretty sure. They're like, dude, you just won the game. Let's go interview. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right, I did. Yeah. I forgot about that part.
I would have won it sooner if Corey got me the damn ball.
Corey and Ted Jeffries, they got me a lot of balls, man.
That's awesome.
Sure.
Anything else?
Sorry about putting myself in there.
I love that story, Dougie. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Dude, I was excited. Let's listen to it. I was like, yeah. Now what?
Are you going to do it?
Right. I'm telling you, you've got to see Corey, though. You got to, like.
If I can find the highlights, I'll add it to this.
It was a must bucket. We needed a bucket, and literally, like, three guys tackled him, and he hit me with the right pass, man. He had a huge game, too, obviously.
How many assists did Corey give you in your career?
All right, so my highlight story. Here's my highlight story from the 94 Virginia ACC tournament. Virginia versus Duke semifinals. Jamal Robinson gets the ball, less than a minute. It's, what is it, a tie game? Or are we down? I don't remember the score. I remember Jamal takes it in and drives. If you watch that video in slow motion, because it was on ESPN, if you watch that, you see me on the baseline with my camera. Jamal drives. And for the podcast people, I'm pantomiming, holding the camera up to my face. But Jamal takes his first dribble step, and I pull the camera down, and I watch. And I watch this beautiful shot. I don't get a single photograph of it because me, the basketball fan, overruled me, the photographer, and I just watched Jamal make a beautiful play.
Was that the spin move that he had in the –
Yeah, he like yeah.
Yeah, and he airplaned.
Yeah, and then did the airplane. Yeah, that was awesome.
So Chris, you can that's easy to YouTube to find on the internet, by the way.
Yeah. It is. We'll link it below.
Yeah.
I'm on there being a shitty photographer, but
that's what they call it, carpe diem, evocative.
Right. That's what that is. It's evocative, Doug. We'll go with that.
You would not have to. If you took the picture, you wouldn't have the same vision and the same memory.
Nope.
No, because I was only there because I was a basketball fan. I mean, I like photography, and I've studied whatever. But I got into that because I wanted to be at the baseline at these basketball games. Right. And
so,
doing that helped me understand basketball so much better, because if you're trying to chase the ball around, you're going to be late on so many shots. So it really helped me learn the flow of the game. And so I could, I could anticipate where the action was heading, and that helped me get a lot of good shots.
I think also you were just ahead of your time, and you understood that YouTube was going to be able to show this video to everybody later.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it was like, don't worry about it, guys. It's coming. You'll be able to catch up on this later. Right.
No, I want
to, I need to see this live.
Right. I don't want a picture.
It's funny.
You take a picture and then you develop it 2 days later, and then I'd have to make a print of it and stand around in the dark room waiting for who wants that? Robinson, dude.
TW, who was telling us recently that Jamal, like, nobody could stay in front of him, or Mark? I thought we were talking to somebody on a podcast recently, and they were like, Jamal, one-on-one, nobody could stay in front of him.
I think a couple of people said he was a really good open court player.
But somebody who – they said he was by far the best dribbler on the team.
It was Harold. It might have been Harold.
This is the last week. Yeah, they were like, there's no chance anybody could stay in front of Jamal one-on-one.
If you were – Dougie, that makes you a true Cavalier all day.
That Jamal Robinson interviews. Like, come on.
You're a true who, Dougie.
Maybe Jay Willie told you this.
It might have been Jay Willie. Yeah, that's possible.
It might have been Jay Willie.
Look at T-Dubs. T-Dubs on your show is the best.
Yeah, he's might have been Jay Willie. I don't know. He's coming to my side. Jay Willie shows money.
I'm going to hope you weren't dreaming about interviewing somebody and they're talking about Jamal Robinson. That's really where I'm hoping.
No, my point is this is all a dream. Every pod, I don't remember what, where, why, who, no pun intended.
So next week we've got Gus Gerard. We're going to figure that out. And then Jake McGee, football. Yeah, let's get it. And then we'll release Brian Stith. We had Brian Stith on Phony. It was amazing.
It was really
good. You guys have all good guests. Why the hell do you have me on? You've got like actual like talent. And now here's some guy with a fake name. I just found the Jamal Robinson video, and I'm pretty sure this is me. I mean, everything was low res. Yeah.
That was a great play. I love
that. That's why I'm not a professional photographer. But, man, it was a great shot.
That was a sweet move.
And something else I remember from Jamal that game, so he missed a dunk in the first half of that game. And going back to the locker room, the Duke guys were giving him shit. And he's like, man, I was so nervous because he had like a wide open like breakaway and missed it. And I heard him say, he's like, man, I was so nervous. And I always wondered about that with him, because it just seemed like he should have been so much –
Yeah, he's so talented.
More. I mean, the guy could jump out of the gym. And I loved watching
him. He had a smooth handle. He could do it all.
I went to the game in Norfolk when they played at ODU, and I don't know if that was 93 or whatever, and he had two open court dunks that were just brought down the house. UVA lost that game. I was so pissed because my best friend went to ODU and was giving me shit all night about it. Probably still does. But Jamal's dunks that game were just incredible, that guy.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the tweets. We'll keep an eye on social media for Doug.
Yeah, this was a fairly basketball-focused podcast, so I'm more confident that we'll get actual listeners to it, or they'll stick with it.
I like it. I think once the season gets going, we'll have a lot more interesting topics to talk about, and maybe we'll have some guests on here too.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys post video on all of them, but yeah, if you can post video on that breakdown of the Jamal Robinson drive, just because that's funny, like. I'm such a bad photographer. Yeah, you know,
do these live next time too, by the way, if we really wanted to. At some point, we could do these live on YouTube. So
we said the prep Dougie again. No cursing.
Yeah, that kind of worries me a little bit. I worry about that because I still have in the back of my mind, okay, if I say something that I shouldn't, I can always ask you to edit it out.
But. Right, exactly. I always feel that way, even though we don't really need it. But
yeah. Like I'm looking forward to it. I want us to do one of these during a game, and I think that'll be fun, hopefully.
That'll be so cool.
Fun. Yeah. That'll be awesome. Be
great. Yeah, we'll do YouTube live during game. Then people can sync everything up and watch the game with Phony Bennett.
I got good feedback from the show last week.
Okay.
Somebody, long-time fan.
I didn't get too much feedback, but, again, we're not really talking too much about
hoops.
Yeah, but this one is more hoops-focused, so when you guys – when we put it out, I'll make sure we let people know.
Sweet. All right. Appreciate you once again. Till next week.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I wasn't sure if we do it again after the first episode. I thought it might be like...
No. We're good. I think it'll only get better as we go towards the season. Right? Well, feel free to tell us to take a week off, too, if you're like, there's literally nothing happening.
I just want to have more episodes than Cop Rock. I don't know if you guys remember that show. Is a musical about cops. I think, I don't know if it was Aaron Spelling, but I think it lasted 3 episodes. It was awful. Like, cops breaking into song and dance, what could go wrong? I know you think that, but it turns out it sucked.
I could think a lot of things.
We'll figure out a rhythm with this thing and get people on board, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, but I think it's cool that we're doing it now just get it out there and market it. And then by the time comes around, it's going to be great because we could do football. We could do basketball. Right.
Current events.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that'll be great. Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still on the game momentum.
We'll talk soon, man.
Next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys.
All right.
And fakes the pass and sends it down with a tomahawk slam. That's the winner here. On the front. This is what you have to know. Back for the tournament. Jerome off the glass. Count it. And one, Jim Jerome.